Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It's my pleasure in that it is our second hour on Friday to welcome in IQ Al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on the religion of Islam, among the wisest and most courageous people I've had the pleasure of getting to know. He is the author of a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. IQ, I think we're going to spend most of this hour talking about the mess that America has made in Syria and what the consequences are, but we'd be remiss if we didn't draw our attention to the news out of Saudi Arabia. Did you read the story of how one of the royal families, one of the many wives abused by the royal family in Saudi Arabia, had hacked off a woman's arm?
Yes.
She.
Are you surprised or shocked?
I'm not surprised.
And they put and the Americans allowed them to be on the Human Rights Council.
Yeah, yeah. Here you've got not just a group of fundamentalist jihadists in the Islamic State decapitating people or cutting off arms and legs. These aren't jihadists. There is no way in the world to say that this woman, who is part of the royal family in Saudi Arabia, the most fundamentalist Islamic state on the planet, that she has corrupted her religion, that she is an extremist, and yet she whacked off the arm of a servant because that servant didn't like being tortured by her and complained about being tortured. Talk about savage. Yeah, how could you put somebody from this country on a Human Rights Council? How could you do business with these people? When we buy oil from them, we're enriching the Muslims who are abusing their wives, who in turn abuse their servants.
But they abuse everybody who is not a Muslim also.
Correct. Well, the Muslims abuse their Muslim wives, and then the Muslim wives abuse anyone that they can who's not a Muslim.
Correct.
This deed was so savage, done by the woman herself, the scumbag of an individual, that was so savage, it destroyed parts of her spinal cord. She's paralyzed.
And what is anybody doing about it? What is Obama going to do about it?
Yeah, where's Obama's condemnation? Right. This is the royal family in Saudi Arabia. You know, and they're scumbag descendants and princes and wives. And it's not uncommon. This isn't like, you know, somebody has a... You know, has this vision, decides they're going to be a shooter in a school because they've lost their ever-loving mind. This is extraordinarily common in Saudi Arabia, that these women will be tortured and physically mutilated in this way. And where's the condemnation?
They've been raping girls who worked for them for 30 to 40 years. It's not yesterday and today.
No. Matter of fact, it's...
They take their passports away. They don't pay them. They abuse them. They rape them. This is standard.
It is standard. It is that...
Islam, this is standard. After all, they are only dealing with kuffar. And what is a kafir? A kafir is a beast. Who said so? The Quran says so. Allah says so. Why are we shocked? We're not shocked. You and I cannot be shocked. It's impossible.
But you know what's amazing in Islam? Is that half of the Islamic population are beasts. Every woman is nothing but a beast to be used.
Animals. Correct. They are treated as domestic animals. Women and in Islam, from the point of view of, in fact, not women only, Islam, from the point of view of any Muslim male, any female on the planet, is less than a domestic animal. Look what they're doing in Europe. Sweden is the capital rape country in the world. Mm-hmm. By whom? By Muslims. Against whom? Christians.
All right.
But they don't wake up.
Yeah. There's there's a correlation between what Boko Haram did in Nigeria in kidnapping thousands of little girls and gang raping them and selling them off as sex slaves, and what the Islamic State has done in Iraq and Syria, kidnapping tens of thousands of little girls and enslaving them and selling them off as sex slaves. The exact same thing happens in the heart of Islam, because in the royal family in Saudi Arabia.
But yeah, they, as you know, this is Islam. There are no shades in Islam. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim, extremist Muslim, radical Muslim. They don't exist only in the mind of the Western media. Islam is Islam. Like the Nazis, you never ever heard of a moderate Nazi, extremist Nazi, or radical Nazi. Never.
Never. Right. A Muslim is a Muslim. And if they aren't violent, if they aren't vicious, if they aren't sadistic, then they aren't a Muslim. Then they're just pretending to be a Muslim or trying to fool other people.
Yeah. This is exactly what Islam is all about.
You know what's amazing is I was searching for just history so I could bring up other stories, because this story is not isolated. It's extraordinarily common in Saudi Arabia for the women in Saudi Arabia who are treated like slaves. They can't even go out of their own homes unescorted, and are treated just like their property, to mistreat their female servants and to torture them. And so I just thought I'd Google the history of Saudi Arabian abuse. And the first article came up was from the Boston Globe. I said, no, the Boston Globe doesn't have the chutzpah to actually tell the story, do they? And you know what? The reason the Boston Globe had a story on it is that the problem in Saudi Arabia is so bad. The Saudi Arabians themselves ran public servants service ads showing pictures of mutilated and tortured servants in Saudi Arabian households and say, you know, we're doing this so frequently that we're developing a really bad reputation. And we really ought not be doing this to the frequency we're doing it.
But the question I want to ask, how is it conceivable for a government of the United States of America to allow any Saudi or any Muslim on any human rights panel? I want to understand that.
Because we've lost our way? Because we're, as a nation, immoral? Because we have no idea what it means to act in a moral way? You know, I ended my last segment by saying that one of the things that we need to do more is hate. And if you don't hate the culture, the religion, the doctrine that has caused hundreds of millions of women to be tortured, to be raped, to be treated as sex slaves, then there's something wrong with you. You're incapable of love if you don't hate this kind of abuse that's on such a wide scale.
I have estimated, based on knowledge only, that Muhammad's legacy has caused the death, destruction, and misery over the last 1,400 years of over 2,500 million people.
Yeah.
Over 2,500 million people. That's 1,000 million people. That's a huge number of people.
Yes. Yes. Whose lives have been hugely negatively impacted. Either they've been killed, they've been tortured, they have been abused, they have been raped.
Yes, yes. But this is Islam. This is what Muhammad used to do.
Oh,
this is exactly what Muhammad used to do.
Why
ISIS is doing exactly what they are doing. They are following Muhammad's Quran and Muhammad's Sunnah, which are the foundations of Sharia, not word by word like the Qaeda used to do. Not at all. Yeah. They are following it letter by letter, dot by dot, and comma by comma.
Yeah, in fact, Muhammad is shown torturing little girls in the Hadith.
Yes.
And he is shown raping women in the Hadith. He is shown being a pedophile in the Hadith. Matter of fact, one of the biggest problems in Saudi Arabia is that little girls, as young as 8 years old, are brought into Saudi Arabia with promises that they will be married into the royal family, and the Muslims use that fourth spot on their wives' acceptability list as the rotating wife, which is something Muhammad encouraged, so that you can engage in prostitution or rape or whatever you want to, so long as you only have three real wives. The fourth one can be the one that you're abusing at the moment. And they're taking these little 8-year-old girls and turning them into sex slaves. I mean, what kind of a warped mind does that? And it's pervasive in the culture. You know, there was reports, you and I don't think talked about it all that much, but there were reports out of Afghanistan 2 weeks ago that at least dominated the headlines for a period of a couple of days, where the majority of those that America had empowered in Afghanistan were engaged in bocce ball, this
yes,
boys play.
Raping boys. Yes.
Right. Taking the cutest boys, anywhere from 8 to 12 years old, out of their homes and chaining them to beds naked, and then gang raping them, and then torturing them and threatening more torture if they complained.
But this is Islam.
And American soldiers
who... For over 1,000 years.
Yeah, because these, all of the people that were doing this were people that America had empowered and authorized, and they were doing it even in American bases. And when the American officers were disgusted by these this acts of sodomizing little children, if they complained, they lost their jobs. They were drummed out of the military.
The military are complicit. The American military officers,
yes,
the higher up on the echelon, they are guilty.
Yes.
Because as you said, when the younger officers or the lower grade officers complained because they were disgusted,
they were drummed out of the military. They lost their careers. They were lost. They were drummed out of the military.
This is a criminal act by the government of the United States of America. Criminal.
It also means that the upper echelons of the U.S. military has gone from amoral to immoral. And if there is somebody that still has a conscience left, the ability to exercise moral judgment, they're not welcome in today's military. That's a scary thought when you consider the weapons that they can deploy and whom they will deploy them against. We'll be back in a moment. The dateline here is Saudi Arabia. In the ad, the servants are depicted as animals. A woman in the back seat of her car tugs on the reins of a bit in her Indian driver's mouth. And another, an Ethiopian maid, kneels inside of a doghouse in front of a bowl full of bones her employer has thrown in a dish. And another, she is shown packed in the trunk along with the luggage. The public service campaign recently launched in Saudi Arabia highlights the abuse of foreign domestic workers and urges their employers to treat them more humanly. The man behind the announcement says, "We deal with our servants as if they were not human." He says that the rampant abuse in the kingdom is so out of hand, there is enough denial.
But this is why you had 19, or the majority of the people who attacked the Twin Towers were Saudis.
Correct.
They were not killing human beings.
Correct. Not from their perspective.
They were not killing human beings. They were not even killing animals. They were killing objects. They were destroying objects. Mm-hmm. This is Islam.
Yeah.
This is
and they were willing to die for their God to do it. But, you know, that's really not any different than what America does now in terms of indoctrinating its military.
Yep.
That's why when you hear the videos of those that attack helicopters and they're killing women and children with Gatling guns, they're giddy. They're giggling while they're doing it. Oh, I really got that one. Oh, you see that one blow up? Oh, pieces splattered everywhere. No, they're giggling while they do it. Because of the nature, if you're going to create an institution to kill, you need to degrade all of those who are opposed to the institution. They become subhuman. What did we, when America, Europeans came over to colonialize the Americans, what did they call the native people?
Savages.
Savages. Yeah. And who were the real savages?
The ones who conquered them.
Right. Yeah, I think the greatest savagery the world has ever known was the first 100 years of Islam. It's called the Golden Years of Islam. It should be called the Blood Red Years of Islam. The world has never known the savagery to the extent that was perpetrated by the first 100 years of Islam, from around 630 CE to 730. More killing, probably in the range of 200 to 300 million people, butchered and raped and enslaved in the course of 100 years.
Correct. They destroyed 3 civilizations.
Yeah. Literally. The reason we don't know a lot about it and we don't talk a lot about it is the fact that those perpetrating the killing were illiterate. They didn't write.
Yes.
They had no effect. At that time, the Quran couldn't be found in writing. There was no written copy of the Quran, no written copy of the Hadith. They were completely illiterate. There's no documents from that time from them, and they murdered those that could write that they victimized. You know, dead men tell no tales.
Correct.
That's how this religion was born.
This is why no human being can find any reports from the victims of Islam anywhere in the desert of Saudi Arabia, or what we call Saudi Arabia today.
Yeah. Until recently, when the West started making the recording devices, particularly cell phone cameras, we didn't even witness it when they were perpetrating their own crimes. It's only very recently that Muslims, using technology in the West, have been able to act like the Nazis and document their own savagery.
Yes,
the selfies. Yeah, of beheadings and of mass decapitations.
They love it. You know, the Europeans, in the end, they apologized for what they did to the black people. They apologized for what they did to the Jews. They apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Never in the history of Islam was a single case where any Muslim apologized for anything that Islam had done to other people. Not once.
Yeah. Have you heard Saudi Arabia apologize for 9/11?
Why would they? After all, it was the Mossad of Israel who did it. Why should they?
Yeah.
I know you
have
not. That's exactly what
I know. Oh, I know. They want to take credit for it as this great Islamic attack on America that took so many lives and did so much destruction, and yet when they're held accountable for it and they are attacked in retaliation for it, then they want to blame it on the Mossad.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. It's pure insanity. That campaign we were discussing in Saudi Arabia, one newspaper editorial wrote, "Is it true, based upon this reality of wanton abuse and torture of servants, that Saudis actually have no mercy, no capacity for mercy? Is there something universally wrong, a problem that requires surgery on our collective consciousness?"
Yes.
You know, Saudi Arabia has 8 million foreign workers. 8 million.
Yeah. That's more than the Saudis.
Yeah. The reason they have so many is that the Saudis don't work. Muslims don't work, for the most part. Not good ones. And there's no such thing as a good person who's a good Muslim. Yeah, Islam completely destroys a person's conscience. Completely and utterly destroys it. You know, this woman, all she was trying to do was escape the torture. And for that, she had her spinal cord and arm severed.
Anything about it? Are the Saudis going to do anything about it?
Yeah, why? What I don't understand is, with as close as America's presidents have been to the Saudi royal family, and as abusive as this is, as widespread as it is amongst those 8 million domestic laborers, we don't say a word about it.
Correct.
It's just like what happened in Afghanistan.
The government of the United States knows. The Europeans know. The United Nations know. All of them know. It's not a hidden secret.
And we say nothing. And yet, we sell the Saudi Arabians hundreds of billions of dollars worth of our most advanced weapons. Can you imagine selling people that are this savage weapons?
Yes.
It's just despicable. I just saw a story, and I wanted to turn to Syria. This story, it just came out in BBC. The Islamic State fighters have seized villages close to the city of Aleppo from rival insurgents, a monitoring group has said. So here you have now, in Syria, the Russians having engaged to attack al-Nusra, because al-Nusra is the biggest threat to Assad. And where al-Nusra has been wounded here by the Russian attacks, who filled the void? The Islamic State.
ISIS. Yes. And Obama does nothing about it. And the Europeans do nothing about it. And they had a meeting of all their generals threatening Russia. Are they stupid?
Yeah.
They must be stupid. They really must be stupid. They have absolutely no bloody idea that they are facing Putin. Putin is not a chicken. He is a chess player. He has already figured out what's going to happen for the next bloody maybe 5 or 6 months. His armed forces are decimating those who are attacking Assad.
Right.
Assad is his partner. Assad was always the partner of either the Soviet Union or Russia. I have never defended the Soviet Union. Never. I have never defended Russia. Never. But in this case, it is so crystal clear that the Americans and Europeans are the aggressors.
Yes,
they have no right in Syria. If Bashar al-Assad wants to slaughter his people, who the hell are they to interfere? Who are they? Why don't they go to Mugabe? He is slaughtering his people. Why aren't they doing anything about it?
As a matter of fact, when Assad and his father were slaughtering their people by the tens of thousands, and both of them have an episode where they destroyed an entire village, killed And so both of them, so both of them have a genocidal blight on their resume. When they did that, the United States didn't intervene.
Absolutely.
Europe didn't intervene.
Say anything.
We didn't even say anything. We did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but
and now
we couldn't do anything. It was the Soviet Union. How could you do anything? What?
The fact is that the Soviet Union didn't have anything to do with the obliteration of those towns. That was Assad. Assad obliterated an entire town, bulldozed
because
it.
There was a Muslim Brotherhood.
Right. Fundamentalist Sunni Muslims tried to rebel against them, and he. Right, and he responded as Islamic dictators do against fundamentalist Islamic terrorism. He murdered the entire town. But the West didn't do anything. And now the West is providing the weapons for Sunni Muslims to overthrow Assad because they think that, you know, Assad's a bad guy. He is a bad guy. He ought to go. Not recognizing that we're going to get exactly the same result we got in Iraq, we got in Afghanistan, we got in Libya.
No, they realize. They can't be stupid, really. I can't believe that. They have made a huge mistake. ISIS would not exist today had Gaddafi been in Libya. The 1.5 to 2 million refugees to Europe, or so-called the invasion of Europe, would not have happened had Gaddafi been in Libya.
Correct.
These would never have happened, ever.
Right. So, what your point is, and there's a lot of people who are of the same mind now, your point is that America knows that replacing Assad, that deposing Assad, will simply bring in a terrorist government of Islamic jihadists, because they witnessed it happen in Iraq. They witnessed it happen in Libya. And they know that's the only potential result here. They realize that taking out the government of Afghanistan increased terrorism in Afghanistan. So they know the truth, and that they're still taking this tact means that they're doing so because this is the result they want.
The amazing part of it is McCain, Republican.
Right, Senator Arena. John McClown of Arizona.
All of them are on the bandwagon to go to war with Russia. Do they honestly believe Russia is afraid?
No.
How is she afraid? She sent 26 cruise missiles 1,500 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Are they worried about America? Not a chance. No. Not when Putin is in power. No way.
No. Well, the fact of the matter is that in a war between Russia and the United States, neither country could win. Both countries are guaranteed to lose. So you'd have to be an absolute, you'd have to be suicidal to want to go to war against Russia. Everybody loses. But in this reality, what was it that Obama gains by turning Libya into a terrorist regime? What do they gain by turning Iraq into a terrorist regime? What do they gain by turning Syria into a terrorist regime?
No idea. Believe me, no idea. I can't figure it out. Honestly, I can't. As a sane human being, I can't figure it out.
Well, so let's look at what the potentials are. Potential one is that it is pushing the world toward world war. It makes Russia our enemy. It makes China our enemy. It makes it creates this aura that your military needs to be used, and that the leaders, when you push people towards war, leaders are further empowered. It galvanizes their power. You look at FDR. Two terms weren't enough. He was a complete failure as a president, and yet he continued to be a dictator over America for 4 terms. Why? Because he was in the midst of a war. You know, when George, the first, King George the First declared war on Saddam Hussein, his popularity went from negligible to like 80% overnight. It's only when he ended the war that his popularity plunged again.
Correct. But we are talking about the United States of America with a nuclear power against Iraq. This is different. This is Russia, a bigger nuclear power than the United States of America.
Oh,
more delivery weapons and bigger weapons. We're not talking about peanuts war now.
Yeah. Well, the reason Russia was brought into this is because of the fact that America, Obama, miscalculated in the Ukraine. They felt that they could inspire a bunch of thugs to use Molotov cocktails to overthrow the popularly elected government of the Ukraine and to take the Ukraine away from Russian influence and bring it into Europe, giving NATO a reason to exist, because NATO had no reason to exist. I mean, there was none. And so it gives NATO a reason to exist, which gives the U.S. military a reason to exist. And so in all of the miscalculations that followed that, where the Obamanator decided to put all manner of sanctions and slander Russia, he put Russia in a position where Russia just doesn't give a hoot anymore. Russia's going to say, I'm going to do what's in my interest. The hell with you, because the world recognizes that America now is a complete fraud.
But Russia is not the only one now.
No, China.
China is interfering now.
Yes.
On the side of Russia.
Correct. Hey, do you hear what...
Now, on the side of Russia, now you have 2 superpowers.
Correct.
Europe is not a superpower.
No.
Europe is only on paper of anything.
Yeah, because Europe's military is de minimis. I mean, it's at best a show military. Most of them have taken their military budgets and slashed them to the point that they're almost non-existent.
Absolutely.
It's nothing but show.
This is what amazes me when they're threatening Russia. This is what amazes me. I mean, do they honestly believe the Russians are scared?
No.
You know, it took 4 years. Putin didn't do anything in Syria. 4 years, he didn't do anything.
Right.
But then, when Obama started threatening again to attack Syria, that was the that broke the camel's back.
Actually, I don't think that's the one. You know what I think happened?
Correct.
I think it goes right back to the Ukraine. I think that Obama so miscalculated on the Ukraine that when he put sanctions on Russia and the Ukraine, what it did is it forced Russia to increase their economic ties to Iran. And the single largest international economic deal that has ever been inked is the deal between Moscow and Tehran that was put together within 6 months of the time that U.S. imposed sanctions on Russia for the Ukraine.
And once, agreed to send, guess who's going to pay for it?
Yes, exactly. And once they pushed the Iran and Russia together economically, then Russia is now compelled to defend its primary customer and client, which is Iran. It doesn't have really an interest in Syria. Its interests are with Iran. And we created it because of our miscalculations in the Ukraine. IQ, as we look at Syria now, and we see China and Russia in opposition to the United States and Europe as this conflict has been expanded, do you see any way that bullets and bombs will prevail over Sunni Islam, the Islamic State, and cause it to be defeated?
No.
In other words, the more
ideology with bullets.
Correct. As a matter of fact, when you take the world superpowers and you galvanize them against an ideology that is based on violence, that is based on killing, then all you do is enhance its credibility, make it more popular.
Yes.
So we're having the exact opposite effect. When the reason that that I think that the Russian involvement in Syria is important is that I could not see any way that you would be able to keep the Islamic State from overthrowing the city-state of Damascus, which is really all that's left of the Syrian regime. That what I foresaw was the Islamic State going into Jordan, where they'll be very well received, and overthrowing the monarchy in Jordan and having hundreds of thousands of fresh recruits, and ultimately surrounding Damascus on all sides, and that all of this was going to play out in a matter of years. But with the Russians now engaged trying to protect the city-state of Damascus, that fate is not quite as certain, at least as readily. I think what they did is they bought the Assad regime time. What do you think?
I agree with you. Of course they bought him time. And I don't think only just time. I think they are going to let him stay for as long as they need him. And nobody is going to remove him. First of all, as far as the way I understand it is this. They are destroying the people who are threatening directly the city-state of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
When they finish with these, they will pay their attention to ISIS. No question about that one.
No. Yeah, but we need to think about that for a moment, too, and that ISIS doesn't have as its primary objective the city-state of Damascus. Damascus is like Baghdad. It's primarily Shiite, and therefore it's not in their interest to try to capture it because they can't keep it. They can terrorize Baghdad, but there's no way to occupy Baghdad, which means why would the Islamic State even want Baghdad? I think the same thing is true with Damascus. I don't think the Islamic State gives two hoots about Damascus. Al-Nusra does.
Whoever wants to do it, as far as the Russian general said, they're all crap, and we are not differentiating between crap.
What's interesting, of course, is that Isaiah 17 tells us that that the city-state of Damascus becomes a heap of rubble, and that that the Syrian government falls. So it's going to happen, and the reason it happens now could well be that this, we've got a flashpoint now with Russian and American bombers and cruise missiles and troops and everything all intermixed together without any coordination as avowed now new enemies of one another.
There will be
yeah. You know, didn't Obama just 2 years ago want to bomb Damascus into oblivion?
Correct.
And maybe he's going to have his wish with the Russians there.
Well, it won't work the way he wants it.
No.
The way Putin wants it.
Yeah, but let's say that that since I don't think there's any chance that the Islamic State and militant Sunni Islam is going to be defeated by Shiite Islam, even with the Russians backing Shiite Islam. I don't think there's a prayer. I think that they'll continue to kill, and there's no stopping them in terms of their killing. So then, what happens? Do we accept Syria as the Islamic State?
I don't honestly believe that Russia will allow it to be an Islamic State. I don't think so.
Has any Western power with bombers and fighters and troops ever prevailed in the Islamic world?
No.
So why do you think the Russians will prevail?
He can support them for as long as he needs to. But in the end, we will have to wait and see what happens.
What happened to them in Afghanistan? The same thing will happen to them in Syria.